He flipped his book closed and prodded it into his pocket. My advice to you, sir, is to go nice and easy on the way back. Lock up the car and spend the weekend getting completely pissed. I find it's the only way. Mind how you go now. He returned to his car, wound down the window, and watched Richard maneuver his car around and drive off into the night before heading off himself. Richard took a deep breath, drove calmly back to London, let himself calmly into his flat, clambered calmly over the sofa, sat down, poured himself a stiff brandy, and began seriously to shake. There were three things he was shaking about. There was the simple physical shock of his near accident, which is the sort of thing that always churns you up a lot more than you expect. The body floods itself with adrenaline, which then hangs around your system turning sour. Then there was the cause of the skid, the extraordinary apparition of Gordon throwing himself in front of his car at that moment. Boy, oh boy! Richard took a mouthful of brandy and gargled with it. He put the glass down. It was well known that Gordon was one of the world's richest natural resources of guilt pressure, and that he could deliver a ton on your doorstep fresh every morning, but Richard hadn't realised he had let it get to him to such an unholy degree. He took up his glass again, went upstairs, and pushed open the door to his workroom, which involved shifting a stack of Bite magazines that had toppled against it. He pushed them away with his foot and walked to the end of the large room. A lot of glass at this end let in views over a large part of North London, from which the mist was now clearing. St. Paul's glowed in the dark distance, and he stared at it for a moment or two, but it didn't do anything special. After the events of the evening, he found this came as a pleasant surprise. At the other end of the room were a couple of long tables, smothered in, at the last count, six Macintosh computers. In the middle was the Mac 2, on which a red wireframe model of his sofa was lazily revolving within a blue wireframe model of his narrow staircase, complete with banister rail, radiator, and fuse box details, and, of course, the awkward turn halfway up. The sofa would start out spinning in one direction, hit an obstruction, twist itself into another plane, hit another obstruction, revolve around a third axis until it was stopped again, then cycle through the moves again in a different order. You didn't have to watch the sequence for very long before you saw it repeat itself. The sofa was clearly stuck. Three other Macs were connected up via long tangles of cable to an untidy agglomeration of synthesizers. An emulated 2+ HD sampler, a rack of TX modules, a Prophet VS, a Roland JX-10, a Korg DW8000, an Octopad, a left-handed Synthax MIDI guitar controller, and even an old drum machine stacked up and gathering dust in the corner. Pretty much the works. There was also a small and rarely used cassette tape recorder. All the music was stored in sequencer files on the computers rather than on tape. He dumped himself into a seat in front of one of the Macs to see what, if anything, it was doing. It was displaying an untitled Excel spreadsheet, and he wondered why. He saved it, and looked to see if he'd left himself any notes, and quickly discovered that the spreadsheet contained some of the data he'd previously downloaded after searching the World Reporter and Knowledge Online databases for facts about swallows.